Song, praise God. I'd like to invite you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'll be reading from Philippians chapter 2. We're going to be reading verse 1 through 8. It reads, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross." Amen. You may be seated. So Paul was writing to the Philippian church to address their lack of humility, unity, and their selfishness. And in this passage, we could see the key to solving this, which he's talking about, is humility. So the church of Philippi was struggling with fighting, gossip, and pride. But Paul called the people to have the same mindset of Christ, which we can read in verse 5 and 8, or 5 through 8. But I want to specifically bring up a point in verse 7 where it says, "But he emptied himself by taking the form of a servant." Now let's understand that the God of the universe, the Messiah, he came to serve man. He humbled himself to that point. Today we're going to take communion. And during the first communion, Christ washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. He was a servant even to the one he knew would betray him. Would we do that? It's a really hard thing to ask. Now, I want to go into what humility means. What's the root of it? So the Latin root word for humility is the word humus, which means earth, soil, or dirt, which is exactly what we're made of. God made us from the earth, the soil, and the dirt. Humility is often interpreted as knowing our place, right? But in the spiritual context, let's say it's us knowing our place in comparison to God's, how big and powerful and wise he is versus how small and insignificant we are. How he knows all of eternity. He sees our whole life in front of him, yet we don't see the next minute. Now, pride was the reason why Lucifer fell. He lost his view on who he is, what he was designed for, his position, and he wanted God's. He wanted more than what God was calling him for. Now, I want to give two examples of pride. They're both pride, but they're kind of separate. They're opposite. One is many people aspire for higher positions than what God called them for. They're not satisfied where God is calling them to serve in the moment. They want more. But then there's other people who are actually designed and destined for more by God. But they were so concerned and distracted by themselves, their current position, their current ministry, whatever they're doing right now, that they haven't grasped what God has actually designed for them. They're not willing to move forward to the next thing. They're focusing mainly on themselves. I want to talk now on what prideful serving looks like and what it brings. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. It reads, "Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." somebody focusing on their own desires, their own wills, their own plans, whatever they want, will miss out on the glory that God had in plan for them. We'll miss out on God's plan for them because they're focused on themselves. Even if said person dedicates their entire life to ministry, but they do it for their glory. Even if they lead people to Christ, but they do it to be noticed. Even whenever they receive a compliment and say praise God, but they just said that out of, that's what you're supposed to say. But in their heart, they felt the pride. It's all in vain. It's exactly how Jesus was talking about the Pharisees and their fasting. Their reward's going to be here. When somebody serves, glorifies God in any position, in any act, and they're focusing on themselves and what they can get out of it, how they look, that sacrifice and that glory that they will receive will be here. Reality is, every single person struggles with pride. Both you and I, at some point in life, even today, have struggled with pride. Reality is, if somebody thinks they're humble, truly they're prideful. Humility is a lifelong pursuit. It's a lifelong pursuit. And we will only grasp humility when we achieve and when we recognize who we are as people, and that is dirt. That is what we're made of. We are nothing in comparison to God. We will be humble when we recognize who we are in comparison to who God is. God often calls people to be humbled. The voice of the Holy Spirit, which is a gentle voice, will say, humble yourself, either through conviction, sending a brother. But the thing is, when we read Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted, we see that if somebody ignores that voice, God as a loving Father will humble them. Now I want to go to the other side of the spectrum. Let's talk about a humble servant, what that looks like, and what will come out of that. Again, I'll read the same verse. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. God often calls nobodies to be his somebodies. He called fishermen and tax collectors to be his apostles. He didn't go and grab people with the highest ancient theology degree from that time, didn't spend every day of their life in the temple. He called people that were uneducated, but who were responsive to what he was calling them to do. And these are the people who established the churches. We find a humble approach to serving in Isaiah chapter 64, 6. It says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There's another translation that says, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy rag. So, whether somebody's preaching from the pulpit of a Billy Graham-style rally, or they're just setting up chairs in the back of church where nobody sees, it is filthy rags. Why? Because the glory, the worship, the praise is so much better in heaven. But here's the thing, God pays attention to what's in the heart, right? God finds joy in our serving because of the posture of our heart through it. Like TJ, you just had a son named young Theo, right? And Theo, when he grows up a little bit more, he's going to write or make a drawing for you. He's going to bring it to you. And it's not going to be a Da Vinci-style drawing. But you'll find joy in it because your son made it for you to bring you joy. He made it with you in mind. It's the same way with God and us. That, like, our serving is nothing compared to what will be in heaven. The worship that we sing is nothing compared to the songs that we sing in heaven. but it's the posture of our hearts through the act. If we serve God with a whole heart and we focus on Him, we will be blessed. If we serve God with the heart of, I want to glorify God, I want to praise God through everything that I do because He's worthy, and we see it as an honor instead of an obligation, we'll be blessed because it's written that the meek shall inherit the earth. God also will call and use people who want all the glory to be His, not people who want the glory to be theirs. I was talking with Pastor Cornell 2 weeks ago, and he shared this story with me. There was a woman with all these music degrees and experience, and she went to this large church, and she applied for a position, and she met with the pastor. The pastor sat there, and he listened to her say everything that she has, everything she's done, looks at her degrees, looks at her experience. And then he says, I have a position right now that opened up. It's for cleaning toilets. Now she got offended and she walked out. Oftentimes, God will call us to do things that to us, it's like, why are we doing this? It's to test our heart, to test where the posture of our heart is. Because if God can trust us in little, He'll trust us with more. I have the honor and privilege by the Lord to disciple a group of young men. And there's a young man in that group who truly, truly has been such an encouragement to me. He's 15 years old. He doesn't care what he does as long as he's serving the Lord. He's an evangelist in his high school. He leads a large Bible study group in his high school. It's amazing. But he's also the guy who likes to serve behind the scenes. He's the guy who goes to his friends when nobody is looking and wants to encourage them. He's the one who goes to the one shy person in the room who nobody wants to be friends with, and he approaches them right away because he wants to honor the Lord and he wants to show kindness and goodness. I believe that if we're serving God in the little, God will use us in larger ways. If we are serving God with all our hearts, setting up chairs, cleaning toilets, if we're there just like doing any smaller duty, to us that seems small, to God it's a big deal. Because if our heart's in the right place, that's what God will delight in. People who serve when nobody's looking will receive their reward. And God wants to promote those who bring glory to Him. If all of us within the body of the church will serve purely for the glory of God, and not just for reputation, but we humble ourselves, we're willing to wash the feet of our enemies, and we do all purely for the glory of God, with a Christ-like mentality, not only will there be revival within every single one of our hearts, but within the church as a whole. What kind of worship would we have? What kind of sermons would we have? What kind of fellowship would we have? If everybody within the house of the Lord, every single one of us, me, you, we just focus on who God is and what He wants for us and how powerful and good He is, how would our church look? Revival's not going to start when somebody preaches this way or that way. When a song is sung in this specific style or this specific key. Revival starts in a secret place. It starts in the personal level. It's very quick and easy, and I was in this place too. I want revival. I'm going to wait until it comes. Revival will start when every single person within the house of God humbles ourselves and we seek His face. When we truly know who He is in comparison to who we are. I want to close with one last verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's one of my favorite verses ever. It reads, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So let us walk forward, acknowledging truly who God is, how powerful he is, and how small we are. And let's praise and worship God as we go into these next songs as well. Let's focus on who he is. Amen.